is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Satan's lie, a roaring lie, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, fallen some weak out. God has promised us today his overcoming power. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. He that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it, you. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. I certainly believe that tonight. We've got several prayer requests. I'd like to ask Brother Rob Weber, if he don't mind, to come pray over these. Please remember my friend Teresa Decker. She was admitted to the hospital yesterday, so covet your prayers. Brother Jerry Glenn would like us to pray for his wife, Deanna. She's homesick. Let's remember her. Sister Barbara Gravely wants to thank everyone for the prayers. She had a stent put in her heart and is doing well. So thank the Lord for that. Brother Gary turns in a request for his neighbor, John Trilling. He's on life support. Request your prayers. Yvetta Collins has strep throat. Let's remember her. Brother Samuel Shuffler's looking for the Lord's will in his life. Please remember my mom, Claire Batman, in prayer. She's to have surgery Friday morning to repair her intestinal tract. I know the Lord will answer her prayers. Sister Wanda Batman turns that in. Please pray for Sister Sharon Binkley, having trouble with her feet. She's scheduled for surgery on April the 7th. Sister Lou Bean turns that in. I think that's it for the prayer request tonight. If we could stand and take these knees to the Lord with Brother Rob tonight.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Once again, we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts, coming boldly before the throne of grace. Thank you for the prayer requests that were made. Thank you, Lord, for those of us that have returned from camp, Lord, bringing us home safely and touching our hearts in such a way that I pray, Lord God, that the young people can bring forth a little fire, Lord, that they receive from camp, Lord. Let their experience be grown in the Holy Ghost, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for the adults that were there as well. What joy it is to our hearts when we can be together, away from work, away from all the things of this life, that we can just concentrate on you. I pray, Lord God, for these 2 hours that we have together, whatever it may be, that we can enter into Christ and we can enter into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity these prayer requests to be made. We thank you for the testimonies that would come forth. I thank you, Lord, for moving in a mighty way at camp, in the lives of these young people and in my own. I thank you, Lord, for your grace that covers us, surrounds us, and gives us strength, Lord, to carry the battle. And I pray, Lord God, for this life, Lord, to be shared. I pray in your precious and holy name, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Thank you, Brother Rob. Let's sing Higher Ground together.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every
Take up your cross. Take up your cross in G. Mm-hmm. If there's brothers who would like to come lift the offering tonight, we're going to sing Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. I hope that's the desire of everybody here tonight, especially these young people coming back from camp. There's nothing wrong with going somewhere and getting all fired up. People criticize that a little bit. It's good to go somewhere and get all fired up. I'm happy for the part that played in my life. So you just spread that fire, and I'm proud of you guys. So let's sing this together. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Sing it together again. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Raise your hands if that's your plan. Take up my cross. Every day. it feels. Gee, I want to know how it feels. I think Brad and Sarah and Brother Chuck might have a song for us tonight. If y'all want to come on up to the platform, and let's sing this together. I want to know how it feels. Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. Heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. Sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. Seems that peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load. All I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a tree. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels. Help me sing it. To make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of it. And I know that it's real, but I want to know how it feels. One more time with I'm gonna know. I'm gonna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I'm gonna know.
Is Brother Wayne or Jared Phillips here?
We had a request to sing this song by Louie, but I don't see him up here. I guess we're here. We might as well sing it anyway. How many's going through a dark trial in your life? You feel like there's nowhere to go. There's only one I know that can get you out of your problems. That's our Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
against the wall and you think you've been through it all and you got nothing left inside to fight the good fight. Well, don't give up and don't give in. You've got faith and you've got friends, so be strong and keep holding on. God is working even when you can't see. So just believe that where there's a will, He has a way. Where there's a need, He hears us pray. And the answer is coming. Before you ask, the Savior knows. So trust the one who holds you close. 'Cause at the end of the day, where there's a will, He has a way. I've been in the boat you're in, and I've faced the waves and winds, and just like He brought me through, He'll do the same for you. The rain ain't gonna last. This storm is gonna pass, and His love will be more than enough to see you safely to the other side. Then I know we'll find that where there's a will, He has a way. Where there's a need, He hears us pray. As the Savior knows, so trust the one who holds you close. 'Cause at the end of the day, where there's a will, He has a way. Where there's a will, He has a way. Where there's a need, He hears us pray. And the answer is coming. Before you ask, the Savior knows, so trust the one who holds you close. 'Cause at the end of the day, where there's a will, He has a way. When it feels like God is running late, when it seems the mountain's here to stay, where there's a will, He has a way. Where there's a need, He hears us pray. And the answer is coming. Before you ask, the Savior knows. So trust the one who holds you close. 'Cause at the end of the day, where there's a will, He has a way.
Appreciate that song tonight. If we could, let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. And I failed to mention a prayer request that I didn't write down because I knew I'd remember it. Sister Sharon Ward has started her chemo, and they're requesting prayer for her. So if everybody could just remember her, and as we go through the week and the coming days, let's remember Sister Sharon as she goes through that. Let's sing together, "My Hope is in the Lord." Help me sing it. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord evermore. Let's sing it again. My hope is in the Lord this time on and evermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore. Can you sing that verse, Harry?
Of the Lord and heard the wisdom of baptized, the living sacrifice, my only source of life.
My hope is in you, Lord, from this time on.
Honestly, don't see how people live every day if their hope isn't in Him. Can you imagine if your hope is in the Republican Party right now? Or the Democrats? Or liberals? Or the French government? Or the government of Belgium? Government of South Africa? Really? No government of no nation would you want your hope in? Me either. What about health? What about health care? What about science? What about the weather? There's only one place, friends.
Amen.
There's only one place.
Amen.
But yet, I've been just going over and over and over with a quote that I'd found a week or so ago. Very unusual terminology, the way that Brother Branham says it. But he says, whatever your soul is charmed for is what you will do. So we realize whatever your soul is charmed for, that's what you'll do. So if you're charmed for heaven,
amen,
then guess what? You'll be there.
Amen.
You'll love this word. And if you're charmed for the world, you'll hate the word. I mean, you'll be satisfied in hypocrisy and all of that. But no wonder if he said it in 1964, there's only one hope then. And that was the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I think we should be able to say it even more so. Even so,
amen,
come Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you would, tonight. Privilege to be together, isn't it, in the house of the Lord. And certainly glad our young people and our chaperones made it back from the youth camp. Heard some really good reports from down there. We're so grateful. God was with them and used them in a mighty way. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. We're still looking at the Song of Moses, as it's called. What a difficult close to this man's life. Seemingly a failure of his purpose and his goal. So sad because it looks like an unfinished job. A job that has involved the majority of his life. 120 years basically in the making. And yet he's going to leave without it being completed. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. We're going to pick up where Moses is looking at the contrast of what the children of Israel could have been and what they were, and how prophetically in time they will erode to this verse here in verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them? And the Lord had shut them up. Now this is exact opposite of what God said would happen to the children of Israel, of course. They, in the minority, would chase their enemies. Their enemies would run from them and flee from them. So now he's asking them a question. How is it your enemies are chasing you? It should be the other way around. But now your enemies are chasing you. So he asked this question. How could it be except their rock, which was God, God sold them, and the Lord shut them up. For their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is as the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Now, can you imagine God speaking about Israel and likening them to Sodomites and Gomorrahites? Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know your judgment and your justice is just as true and righteous as are your blessings. Us human beings, we don't really like to think about judgment. We don't like to think about justice necessarily, because we know if we got what we justly deserved, it would certainly be far, far beneath what we want. And yet we know that when we trample grace continuously over and over again and sell ourselves to the world and to the economy of Satan, eventually you will sell us out. Prophetically, this is what we're looking at here tonight. I pray that we could learn, Father, that we could be benefited by the paths which Israel chose to walk generation after generation. It seems as if though they would needlessly, absolutely needlessly go this path. They would refuse to hear the word. They would refuse to be corrected. They would see it happen one after another. May we not be that stubborn, Lord. May we not be hard-headed when it comes to receiving correction in our lives. May we be able to be corrected by the word of God. Speak to us tonight, Father, would you? For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. To me, this is so heartbreaking to think of what God had done for these people, how God had so blessed them. God had been with them in so many miraculous, supernatural ways. He had given them of His name, of His character, given them of all the bounty of heaven. And yet God knew in time what they would do. He knew that prophetically as this song was going to be uttered, and there's something about poetry and prose that seemingly can have an impact that just reading of the words itself will not do. So God chose to make this prophecy one of a poetic form, how that they would actually teach it to their children for many, many generations. And it's at this sad spot of this verses now, there's not too many more verses that are left to where the song will end. In the time frame, ideologically, it's going to come up even to where the Lord Jesus will be denied by these people. Some of it would come into the Chaldean captivity, some to the Assyrian captivity, some to the Babylonian captivity. Ultimately, it will wind up with Rome dominating these people, them selling out the Lord Jesus and them being trodden down and the blood, of course, coming to the horses' bridles. Now, God, we know, does not love judgment. God does not love to punish people. God does not love it when his justice is pulled upon, and even in the word that he says it here, which is astounding to us, but justice and judgment are in the treasuries of the Most High. For myself, that's something I don't want to pull out of his treasuries. I mean, if we have a choice between grace and love, forgiveness and pardon and justice and all that sort of thing, and I've got a choice of which one I want, which one you think I'm going to choose, I figure I'm going to choose the same way you're going to choose. I'd much rather have peace than you. I'd much rather have the blessing of God and the power of God on your lives and justice and judgment and recompense of reward and all that sort of thing. But yet, there's something about man that when man will look at his ways versus God's ways, that man has done it for centuries and actually for millennia, that man will still tend to choose his own selfish way over God's way, knowing that judgment will come along with it. Notice now in verse 32 that God had said about the children of Israel now prophetically, their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Now here prophetically, remember God is not speaking just now to where the children of Israel are at, because they're fixing to go over into the land right now where this is being sung, and they're going to go in and they're going to take take possession of the land. They're going to have the inheritance for many, many hundreds of years. But prophetically, God is setting forth the time when the children of Israel will decay in such rottenness that God could compare them to Sodom. Now, we all know what God did to Sodom. God absolutely annihilated it. God destroyed it and the five cities, the surrounding cities of the plains, because of their horrific sin. But yet now God is going to liken the Jews, how they will erode spiritually to a spot to where he's running a parallel, because now at this time Sodom has been destroyed for many, many years. Whenever it's going to happen, and prophetically it's as if though God is setting it forth and showing what the Jews will become. Because once Sodom was actually destroyed, Sodom was a place of great bitumen, which was tar or pitch. On it was several different chemicals around the Dead Sea. And whenever the angel of the Lord, of course, came down, the fire fell and it began to ignite all this that was around. It was absolutely one explosion after another after another. And even though that many, many years later, plants and trees and thorn bushes and even different types of fruit trees have grown out of this land, every one of them still had a bitter taste. So God runs the parallel of what the Jews are going to become, that it could look as if though it was so fruitful. The leaves could be so green and the buds could be so beautiful. And even it would be able to grow and surpass seemingly the circumstances of the pH in the ground and all the phosphate and all the chromium and the high potash and all that was there, and be able to grow and actually put forth a fruit. But when you would taste that fruit, it was an evidence of where it came from. It came from the hills of Sodom, because it still had the very taste of what Sodom tasted like. Now, this is years, of course, after their destruction. Now, God is likening the Jews, and I hope you can understand that spiritually, this is where the churches are today. This is where many of them are today. Are they bigger than they've ever been? Bigger than they've ever been. Got more members than they've ever had. Do they look fruitful? They do. Do they look green and alive? They do. But eat of their fruit and you will taste the potash of Sodom. Amen. Find me a handful in this city right here, in Johnson City, Kingsport, and Bristol, that would have enough guts to stand up behind the pulpit and preach against modern Sodom. Oh, they might talk about it if somebody ain't going to record it, but they don't want their face on television. They don't want, they bow under the pressure. Come on, don't get quiet on me. So in the fruit of all they say and all they do, and they can talk about the cross and the blood and all that sort of thing, but the bitterness of Sodom is still in the fruit, and what is the fruit? They're teaching. So here God prophetically was setting forth at Israel. He said their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Notice now, it was the fields of Gomorrah. Now remember, Moses is standing here, and when he's singing this song, they are not that far from where Sodom and Gomorrah actually is. When he climbs up on the mountain to look, if he will turn right to his right and look not too far down, he can see the very plains of the Dead Sea. So Moses, he can stand right up on the mountain in this very day when he's going to give this song. When it finishes, he can climb up on top of the mountain and he'll be able to look right toward the very plains of that. So it was a very common sight to them. And they would have walked by and actually seen Lot's wife. Even Josephus, whenever he was alive in the days of Christ, said the pillar of salt was still standing there that day. Now you imagine the Jews as they would have walked by and saw the very fields and the plains of Sodom. And for the prophet of God to liken them, the people of God, them, the chosen of God, them, the church of the living God, and compare them to that, they probably said he's crazy. There ain't no way in the world. Can you imagine when Brother Branham was here and he told America, either you accept God this year, you've turned him down, they probably laughed at him, made fun of him, and ridiculed him, but it's come to pass exactly like he said. Praise the Lord. All their life, they ridiculed, they made fun of him, and they're still doing it today. But
let them laugh on, because before long God will start doing the laughing. And when God laughs, when our fear and our calamity comes, well, we know there's no more time for mercy. And it must have been so difficult, because here they are looking at where they are now, and there's no way they would have ever pictured themselves getting into such a state. And this, it's the same today, friends. When a minister feels led of the Spirit of God, and he's preaching against something going on in the church, and people saying, it ain't that bad. It really ain't that bad. No, I'm not really that bad. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not that bad off. But the Spirit of God is not just looking at what you are. He's looking at what you can become if you keep on going in that direction. And that's what the Spirit of God's trying to warn. No doubt they said, there ain't no way in the world. We're just a few days from going over and taking the land. It's a land that flows of milk and honey. We're going to have orchards. We're going to have pomegranates. We're going to have honey, and we're going to have cattle. We're going to have all of this stuff. That's right. They were, and it could have been theirs for a mile, on and on and on and on. But God knew what they would do once they got in the message and settled down in the message, and they'd get to where they wouldn't pray as much as they initially did, and they'd get to where they didn't think they needed God as much as they did. Come on now. And well, we don't need the Holy Ghost, and we don't need them old-fashioned meetings. I'll tell you one thing. If we ever needed old-fashioned meetings, we need them now. We don't need a handshake in this message. Our young people don't need their name put down on a church book. They need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Our old people don't need to shake Donnie Reagan's hand or some other preacher's hand. They need to grab a hold to let the Spirit of God change their nature on the inside and fill them till they are full of God. Oh my. You imagine some of the people there, they just could not comprehend Moses singing, their vine is of the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of God. Isn't it amazing? You'd think out of the potash and out of the calcium and out of the sulfuric acid and out of the bitumen remnants that was still in the fields of Sodom, out of the high content, the saline content that was around it, and all the chemicals, the phosphate, the phosphorus, and all this that was around that, you mean grapes could still grow? Sure. There's certain grapes that can grow out of Sodomites. Come on now, Lot. Don't you sit down and look at me and get all quiet on me, Lot. We don't belong to Lot. I'm not the mayor of Sodom. I belong over here under the oak tree. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, children. We belong over here under the oak. We ain't interested in all that stuff going on down there in Sodom. But it is our place to say it's wrong and it's contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Brother Donnie, they'll put your face on the paper. Let them do it. I don't care. I'd rather let my face be identified that I'm standing for the truth than some yellow back compromising preacher that ain't got enough guts to stand for something. Oh, my. Notice this, they're grapes, which is their actions, of course, the fruit of what they are doing. They're grapes, he says. They're grapes of gall. Now, they're so bitter. And I find it so amazing, the folks that have left the message, and now they're saying they're away from this cult, and they finally got away from this false prophet and all this stuff. And now they got a right to hate. They got a right to drink at least five beers, no more than five. And they can run around with somebody else's wife, and they can do all of this stuff. And you think, were they better off then? Or were they better off when they was among us? Because our message teaches us to love your neighbor. Our message teaches us to pray for our enemies. Our message teaches us not to get on websites and tell lies and fabrications, but yet they're free. I'm glad I'm still held behind the wall then, myself. I'm glad this message teaches me to forgive those that tells lies on me. I'm glad this message tells me to pray for them. Come on. Aren't you glad? Let them laugh. Let them make fun. As Brother Dare preaches this weekend, don't weep for us because our daughters don't bob their hair. Weep for yours because they do. Don't weep for us because we're still quoting the prophet of God. Weep for yourselves that you're quoting him and contorting what he had to say. Well, glory. My. Notice what a contrast now, prophetically, that they're going to become. Look in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. God says, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into degenerate the degenerate plant of a strange vine. And to me, God said, this is what I planted you. This is what I started you off. And you were a good vine. You were the right seed. You were holy. You had the ability to reproduce, had plenteous of virtue and nature of God about you. And now you've turned into a degenerate type of thing. And he said, turned into. Notice, not what they were. They turned into it. Look, friend, how many folks have fallen away from the Word of God? And what do? They turn into something. Well, listen, every one of us is going to be turned one way or the other. You see, Malachi 4 is going to turn our hearts back to the original Word. And if we leave that Word, we'll be turned into this. So you're going to be turned into something. Well, glory. My, my. Notice in verse 33. Their wine is the poison of dragons, which is a serpent, a dragon, a sea monster, or a venomous snake. So here prophetically now, Israel is serving wine. Where did they get these grapes from? Out of the plant which was growing in the bedrock of Sodom. But what's it done? It is now poison. So it's poison serpent wine. Oh my. And the cruel venom of ass. Let's look at a parallel of this in Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So here we see the last day church, and what she's standing there with, a cup in her hand, and she's got this same serpent wine too. Praise the Lord. Notice this. The prophet says that this was, she is a harlot herself. The Bible said she was. She had a cup in her hand and was giving out her doctrine to the people, which was the abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. What is a fornication? It's unclean, living unclean rather. And her doctrine she's giving to the people is the filthiness of her fornication and the kings of the earth, and was all made drunk and the wine of her fornication. And the church said, so all the Protestants are drinking right in with Catholicism, and they're all staggering drunk, heading right for the tribulation period. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're heading for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice he said, exactly right. Look at them, boy. They'd cut your throat in a minute for that. Not only Catholics, but Protestants. Can't you see what these folks are leaving the message, and they're becoming so mean and so full of the devil? Want to cut folks' throats? Can't you see where they're coming to? Falling right under the same anointing of Catholicism and Protestants. What is it? It's a release of pre-tribulation anointing. You imagine Caiaphas and Annas and those men when they got so mean? They got so mean right before the crucifixion. It must have alarmed them. It must have alarmed their families. It must have alarmed the people that had known them for years, because they changed. They was not always mean. They could have never been high priest and been that mean and vile and wretched. What was it? Their own, oh God help us, their own destiny was speaking out of their actions. They were acting the way they were going to be treated themselves. Don't you understand the people that want to kill and destroy and do away with your Christian liberty? Don't you understand what it is? It's the pre-tribulation anointing. The same thing will happen to them. Oh my, but blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't need mercy to be saved. I'm already saved, but I need mercy to leave this world. And I'm going to have it when I need it. Notice in verse 33, their wine is a poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Now can you imagine? They're milking snakes over a cup. And their fangs are hung over the side of their doctrinal cup. That ain't just so with the denominations. There's preachers in this message doing the same damnable things. milking their old serpent of two lords, milking their old serpent of whatever doctrine that they try to poison. What for? To pass the cup around among their people, to get their people drunk on two lords, get their people drunk on this and that and the other. Friend, I'll tell you one thing, may God help us to be drunk on the Holy Ghost, not on the poison of serpents. Can you imagine a preacher being so blind himself that he would milk a serpent in the spiritual sense and pass that cup among his people? God said that's what the Jews would become. That's what they were in the days of Jesus. They lied. They made up lies. They fabricated lies. Right? That's why I don't bother folks today to lie on the prophet. Don't bother them to lie on me, on you, on the church, on the mess. Don't bother them at all. Why? Pre-tribulation anointing. They're milking the serpent. But we know how to heal a snake bite. I was bit that way one time. Praise God, I got healed. I looked on the pole. Woo! Glory! Notice this. Pliny, the historian, says the venom of asp was the least curable. And Aristotle says there is no remedy. And so says Elianus, who observes that the mark of it is so small that it is scarcely discerned by the sharpest eye. So the snake bite would be so small that you'd be bit by it. And not even you'd look and wouldn't even be able to see it until the poison starts kicking in and it's almost incurable. That's what the devil thought. He thought if he could crawl up inside the body of that serpent and bite all the human race, there was no cure. But he didn't know the mystery of God's heart. And the mystery of God's heart was the cure for a snake bite. And how did God make a cure for a snake bite? A snake! God hung a snake on the cross! Hallelujah! The Lord Jesus was not just the Son of God, but he became the serpent on the pole! That's how you heal a snake bite! Glory. And we were all bitten. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, born into this world. And the prophet said, many of you know that's a Christian tonight. All of your life, there's been something in you that you wanted to serve God. And he said, I'll tell you what it was. It was that election. Glory. He said, there was something in you when you was a little child. He said, you couldn't have sought for it. You didn't even want it. It was the election of God. Oh, and the devil thought they're incurable. Every one of them's lost. I've got them hooked on drugs. I've got them hooked on alcohol. I've got them hooked on everything in the world. But all of a sudden, your election pulled you to a serpent on the pole. And you looked and were healed.
Hallelujah.
So then what does he do? Remember, the curse on the serpent was he'll eat dust all the days of his life. Once my soul crossed over, all he can do is bite dust. He still bites me, don't he, you? He still bites dust, but he can't get a hold of my soul no more. Amen. My soul has already crossed the line, so get your mouth full, devil.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah. Notice God says in verse 34, is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? You see, friends, this is the attribute of God that most folks don't like. Our American preachers ain't going to preach this. I get so sick of hearing one trait of God said over and over and over again, as if that was the only trait of God that God God is love. God is love, but He's a lot more than that. The Bible also says our God is a consuming fire. And He's just. Praise the Lord. Now what if somebody said Donnie Reagan is an eyeball? You're not sure how to take that, are you? Well, let me just say about you. What if somebody said you is an eyeball? Or you? Well, now that's partially the truth. But I am not just an eyeball. Furthermore, I've got two. But I have fingers, sinew, muscles, cells, tissues, bones, protein, carbohydrates, fats, calcium, a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of caramel, a little bit of this and that and the other. All mixed up together and all that makes scrumptious me. So if somebody just said, Donnie Reagan, have you seen that eyeball, Donnie Reagan? Have you seen that fingernail, Donnie Reagan? You're going to look in there and say, are you a nut? I know Brother Donnie Reagan. He's more than an eyeball. When all I hear people say is, God is love, God is love, God is love, I think they're a nut. Because God is more than love. God is righteous. God is true. God is holy. God is pure. In God's treasures hangs the justice of God for this nation. The plates are moving around and shifting together. One like this, one like this. Before long, this crust will break off. All the rivers, the underground tables of water, it's all moving in the right cycle. And this God of love will all of a sudden let loose out of His treasury these things that people thought He would never do. And there will be millions that will die at one time. It'll be worse than it was in the last days of Pompeii. I find it amazing that they've now took this resurgence to go to digging back into Pompeii. And now they're finding scenes of everyday life that are frozen in time. They are finding animals. They are finding buildings. They are finding people in the market. People here and there and there. And they found them frozen. God allowing them to dig it up so it can be seen again. You see, when the natural man catches prophecy, children, it's already too late. The supernatural catch it while it's invisible. But man will dig around and find rock over here and find a rock over there and say, you know what, this might be the truth. When they do, it's too far gone. Noah caught the message of the flood while it was yet invisible. When the carnal people banged on the door, the invisible became visible and the door was shut. I don't want to wait till the earth is trembling and shaking. I don't want to wait till Los Angeles has fell down. I want to be ready every day, every hour, every moment, filled with the Holy Ghost, don't you? I don't have to wait till CNN says it. I don't have to wait till they prove this message is right. By the time they prove it, I'll done be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh my, the fruit of the degenerate vine. All of her blasphemy. It's stored in the treasures of God. Notice in verse 35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Now who God talking about? Amorites, Philistines, Hittites? Jews. His people. You realize there's one safe place for you and I in Christ Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. You're not safe in this church. You You're not safe sitting in a message church. You're only safe in Christ Jesus. You can sit in a message church and wind up straight in the tribulation period. You ain't safe in a message church. You're safe in Christ. Notice verse 36. The Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants. When He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left, when God sees their helplessness, oh my, when they're so low and so deprived, notice in verse 27, and He shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? He's fixing to bring them to repentance, but He must bring them to shame first. What's He doing to them? The same thing He done to Adam. Don't you know God knew exactly what bush Adam was under? But it wasn't in man. It wasn't in man after the fall. I said it the weekend before last. I'll say it again. If man was a power of free moral agency with the image of God in him by free moral agency, and he would choose to walk away from his position in God, what makes you think without the image of God in you, just the power of free moral agency, you'd ever be able to choose him on your own? Adam had the holy image of God in him, but free moral agency had such a hold on him that he walked away not from being a son. He walked away from his position of authority. Well, if he did that with the image of God in him, how in the world could we, by your great power of free moral agency that you think is so great? I'll tell you how great your free moral agency is. I read it this evening, the prophet talking about the opossum that come for prayer. He said God sometimes can deal with a dumb animal easier than he can deal with a man on free moral agency. Well, glory. That was this weekend sermon. Sorry, that just kind of... Notice God. God saying, oh my... He shall say, where are the gods? When he comes to Adam, Adam, where are you? He knew he was right there. What's he trying to do? Provoke him to repentance. This is what God's doing to Israel. You're going to say of your gods, where are they? What have they done for you? What's he doing? He's provoking them. Remember Hosea? We looked at it a few weeks ago. I will use allurements. I will allure you. You're talking about merciful. And he shall say, where are their gods? Their rock in whom they trusted. Look, friends. Whatever your rock is, that is your stability. You may say it's God. But if it's your job, if it's your wife, if your father, your grandfather, whatever it is, it's really the stability of your soul. That's why when some people, their husband, wife, or grandfather, whatever more dies, or the pastor, they go all to pieces. I mean, they turn away from God. Why? That was their rock. If God was your rock, you'll cry when mama dies, but you'll go right on. You'll cry when the pastor dies, you'll cry when you lose your job, but you'll go right on because your job was not your rock. But if God is your rock, let every other rock around you fall and collapse, but you're immovable. That's right. Oh my, where are your gods, the rock whom you trust? Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices? Of course, you know what this is doing. This is communion with devils, as Paul mentioned in the Corinthians. How the demons would actually come in the form of this. You probably read it or heard it maybe today or this week. How that now that ISIS has been driven from one of the ancient cities there, several different places around the world are now going to build a statue to Baal. The gate that ISIS was going to destroy that never got to destroy. We're going to have one erected here in America. And Europe. And England. Historical artifact. Symbolism of where they're headed. Idol worship. Praise the Lord. Come on, children. Now think, this is what God said, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices. And the prophet explains this to us. Christianity versus idolatry in several places, that a heathen idol worshiper would come in and he would bring a drink offering, and he would bring a meat offering or a flower offering, depending on what it was that he offered. He would bring it up to this idol and he would sit there and eat a little bit of this offering, and he would drink a little bit of this drink offering. He was entering into fellowship and communion with this idol. Then he would take the rest of this drink offering and pour it out. And he would set the rest of this offering up there before the idol. And there, the prophet even said it, demon spirits would get inside them idols. And you've got accounts of history, if you read it, that eyes would move in them idols. And there'd be supernatural things that would happen sometimes. And it was that that the children of Israel was going to get caught into. And God said, you sat at my table and ate of my bread, and you drunk of my wine, a living God. And then you're going to leave that and you're going to sit at the feet of an idol which has never batted an eyelash. You're going to sit at the feet of an idol which has never raised a dead baby. You're going to sit at the feet of an idol which has never healed a blind man or a lame man. And you're going to have communion with them devils. Not me. You imagine old Caleb hearing this song sung. He did. They just kept on singing and singing. And he said, but not me. Somebody's going to have communion with the devils, but not me. Somebody's going to lie on the word, but not me. Somebody's going to hell, but not me. Caleb had his own version of this song. It was called Not Me. Praise the Lord. When it comes to the blessing part, Caleb said, now that's me. That's what I'm talking about. That's me. But somebody's going to be lost, but that ain't me. Because I don't find my name under that seal. I find my name under the revealed word of God. Now that's me. That's what I'm talking about. That's who I am. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you. And be your protection. Now friends, God can be sharp when he wants to be. Come on. God says, fine. You want to worship them idols? You're in a mess of trouble? Let them help you. God's been every nation under the earth basically their spare tire in the midst of calamity, famine, war, and trouble. And as soon as they get things straightened out, they throw God back in the trunk and they go to live on their own life. America's done it over and over again. Israel done it over and over again. May God help us at this place that we won't. Children, don't use God for a spare tire when all hell's breaking loose and your business is about to collapse and your children's got this and that and the other. Oh God, stir me, God. And then when everything's happened, you go right back and throw God in the back and throw him under the dark and throw him back under you, wheel back there, and you don't worry about him until the next calamity comes. If he's good enough to help you out of a ditch, if he's good enough to help you out of trouble, ain't he good enough to be the very pivotal point of your life? My, he says, see now I am he. And there is no God with me. You see, this is why I'm not a Trinitarian. And this is why I don't believe in two Lords, because God looked around and said, I don't see another Lord up here. God said, if there's any other gods up here, I don't know where they are. I'll tell you one thing, if there's another God in heaven, he's sitting on the floor. Because when John looked up there in heaven, he saw one throne and he saw one sitting on it. Woo. That got me thrown out of a camp meeting several years ago in Pentecost. I better be careful saying that. Surely y'all wouldn't throw me out. Oh my, he said, see, now even I, there is no God with me. I kill. And I make alive. I wound. And I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. About this time I'm crying and said, whatever you say, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. You gonna argue with that? Notice Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. So Jesus comes in the New Testament and said, he's the first and the last. How can there be two firsts and two lasts? There ain't two firsts and two lasts. There's one first and one last. It's the same person. Manifesting the different attributes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isaiah 44:7, and who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, and let them show unto them. Whoa. Fear ye not, neither be ye afraid. Have not I told thee this from this time? Have declared it? Ye even are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Now, wait a minute, Brother Donnie. That was Jesus, the little boy. Now, the little boy was sent up here in the right hand. Here was the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure what they think the Holy Ghost is. If he's an older man, a young man, a morph of God, I'm not sure exactly what they're thinking he is, you know. Half God, half man, half animal, half spirit. But God's looking around and saying, where is any gods up here? I don't see none but me. Let me tell you something, friend. It ain't no prophet of God to come up with this blasphemous doctrine of two lords. It's a theologian that needs the Holy Ghost. God sent a prophet to straighten out all this mess about the Godhead, and then we got a bunch of these knotheads going back into a bigger mess than what they come out of. They want to think two lords is in the middle between oneness and Trinitarian. The prophet blasted two just like he did oneness. In my Donnie head, I'm three. But I'm one. Because I am made to reflect him. Originally, when God made me before the foundation of the world, I was part of that attribute that came out of the eternal and come into the second stage of that attribute, which is the Word. Glory to God. I should have come into my theophany, which would have been the second fold of my manifestation, but time was going to display the Lamb's Book of Life, so I bypassed my theophany and I got a human spirit. And then I come to the earth with a body, so I am a soul, I am a spirit, I am a body, and when I leave this world, I, Donnie Reagan, the seed of God, will take my glorified body to meet my theophany. I will be a joint Donnie head again. Seed gene, theophany, glorified body, just like my Father God. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. Now, since you all ain't been there, I'm going to take the word of one who's been there and lived there and still there. The theologians at the Nicaea Council had never been there. I just hope some of them wind up being there in the end. So we're talking about the man that was the Godhead. And he looked around and said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God, two God, three gods. I don't see none. But Brother Donnie, it's so hard. Not if you let go of your stinking tradition. Same with you wrestling with predestination and election. You're trying to understand everything. Faith don't come by understanding. Why don't you just accept God as he is and say, God, I take you at your word. Why don't some of y'all just admit it? You don't believe what the prophet taught about it. You'd be better off to just admit it. I don't believe what Brother Branham said. I don't believe what the Bible said. You'd be better off to admit it like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And let God say, God, I don't believe what Brother Donnie's preaching. but the man's got scriptures after scripture and quotes after quotes. Help me, Lord. Help me get rid of my unbelief.
Dear Jesus, what are you doing, sir? Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside. Notice he don't say husbands. We all. Ewans. Us. Me. There is no God else beside me. A just God. And a Savior. When Jesus came, he said he was the Savior. That's what I'm saying. Same person. See? There is none beside me. And Happy Valley said, hey, is Hosea 13:4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways and one of the truths and one of the lives. Now, I'm only a third of it. Well, actually, I'm not quite a third, because actually my daddy's got more than I have. So, well, what am I again, Papa? I'm not exactly a third, because that would make me and you and the Holy Ghost the same. And we're not exactly the same. Or so theologians tell me. Imagine theologians telling Jesus how much he's got and what he, you know. Some of these theologians in the message saying Jesus will just be our brother in the millennium. And Jesus ain't to be worshipped. Heathens! Message preacher standing in the pulpit should be out slopping the hogs, not standing behind the holy desk handling God's word. Ain't got no business standing there trying to preach the word, making Jesus some second person of the Godhead. He ain't no second person. He is the person. Hallelujah. He told John, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I'm the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He which is and was and is to come. Oh my. I don't know what in the world we're doing dealing with this, but watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Raising your hand to heaven is a gesture of swearing. Genesis 14:22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. He goes on to tell the king of Sodom, I have made a vow to God, I will not take any of the spoil, even to a shoelace. You can have it all. So here he stands as a declaration. Amen. With his hand raised up as a witness of the message. Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 5, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I choose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob. Can't you see why God can never go back on that? God raised his hand. I, God, swear. I choose you, Abraham. As for me, my covenant is with thee. And Abraham never felt like he was being pushed upon. He never went to God and said, now God, that ain't fair. You ain't just now. You're going to make me serve you. He was turning somersaults, jumping up and down. He was a heathen. He was so blessed that God called him.
Now you figure this out. God goes to confirm his covenant with Abraham. He brings the turtle doves, pigeons, the lambs, all that. God's now fixing to make the covenant. And you know what God does to Abraham? Puts him to sleep. So here's Abraham's ready. Boy, he's got his free moral agency. He's got his ties all up. He's got his Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. And he wakes up and God says, it's all done. Well, maybe the Lord done that. I mean, you've got to do this and that, Abraham. I let you do what you needed to do, and that was sleep. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 6, and the day I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them. You see, before Moses ever sent spies over, God was out spying the land. Before God ever sent preachers on your behalf to tell you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God done spied out the land. God come back telling you, it's yours if you want it. It's yours if you want it. You can have a real experience if you want it. Well, I'm taking some man's word for it. Oh no, that man's only confirming what the main spy already said. Glory to God. Ezekiel 44:12, because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them. As it works positive, so it can work negative. When you see an angel come to the earth, raising his hands, one foot on the land and another one on the sea, a twofold significance can be in the raising of the hand. Time shall be no more. And he's got this little book in his hands. If you notice, it ain't the big book of life. It's a little personal diary. Glory. Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face had as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. We ain't dealing with the big book right now. We little book people. The big book's after a while, but we little book people. Glory. What was it? It was that little book of redemption. A little book in his hand opened, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven say unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven. One fold of this coming is bringing and calling names out of the book, but that calling names out of the book leads to the further revelation, and that is raising of the hand. What is it? A significance. Denominational ages is out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not dealing with them no more. I'm dealing with my elect. It is a sworn affidavit to the bride by Christ himself. And the seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. Who is this this angel of Revelation 10:1? Christ. Only one it could be. Revelation, the angel of Revelation 10:1 comes down to the angel of Revelation 10:7. Oh, Praise God. He lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Who created heaven and the things? Notice this angel. He wasn't a two Lord angel. Because he didn't swear by them. He didn't swear by them that created heavens and earth and them that died on the cross and them that done this and that. He swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are there, and that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. When he shall begin to sound, a different angel altogether than this angel of Revelation 10:1-6. Notice the angel of 10:7 does not raise his hand and swear. But notice his ministry in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound the mystery of the gods. Sorry. The mystery of God should be finished. Praise the Lord. As he hath declared unto his servants, the pastors, the theologians, the evangelists, the prophets. You might want to ask yourself a question, the founder of all these two Lord things. You might want to ask yourself a question, how long it was that they was around this message before they got rebaptized. Huh? Oh yeah. What's the matter? We code blue, I believe. Or red or purple or pink or something. Maybe some of y'all just said it. Think of it. Some of these ringleaders of these false doctrine was around the prophet in the 50s, never got rebaptized in Jesus' name until 1963. Ooh, sound like a rabbit in a woodpile to me. Come on out, little rabbit. I got a double barrel. I'll blow your ears off. You follow some theologian if you want to, and they'll take you straight to hell. I want to follow the vindicated word of a prophet of God, which ties right in line with this scripture. Well, Brother Donnie, I'm following some man from Trinidad. Go right ahead. Well, I'm following somebody from Canada. Go right ahead. I'm following somebody from eternity. Trinidad's all right. Canada's all right. Tennessee's all right. But I'd rather anchor my soul on one who said there is no God beside me. Amen. Than some theologian that said, well, it's the Father, the Son, or the Son of the Father, or the Father. That sounds like a rigmarole to me. I've already been in enough rigmarole. I want my faith to be set on a straight path. Amen. Come on, children. And a bunch of these preachers that ain't got a bit more business up there preaching than their wives do in the first place ain't called of God. See how they interpret the word. That'll tell you if they're called of God or not. Lord have mercy. Whew. You imagine God said, I lift my hand, a sworn affidavit to the church. Let people write their books, let them do their websites, let them do whatever. If these folks are raised up against the message and they're telling the truth, then if God is with them, God ought to speak for them. The scripture said signs followed the apostles. Anybody getting saved? Anybody getting the Holy Ghost? Anybody getting delivered? Don't get quiet on me, Happy Valley. God is a God of supernatural and miracles. Well, if they've come to straighten us out and set us straight, show me their God among them. I'll show you bob-haired, short, cigarette-sucking, bob-haired, painted-faced Jezebels. Beer-drinking, pot-bellied men that ain't got a bit more right to handle the Word of God than a possum does out of the woods. Lord Jesus, what in the world? Woo! Come on, children, it's time we call truth, truth. I refuse to compromise and be scared of a bunch of people that compromise on the Word of God. Let us stand for what's right or get away from it. If this message ain't worth standing for, let's just go on back to the Baptist church and go to hell with them. Lord of mercy. Deuteronomy 32:40, for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. I live forever. Hebrews 6:13, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. If I have your permission, of course, Abraham. Do I have your consent? And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Yes, but since there was no one greater than the Almighty, he swore by himself. Now, if there's three of them up there and they got all equal power, they have to have Jesus' permission, the Holy Ghost's permission to ratify this covenant. Because you can't do nothing without all three of their permissions now, because it's a triune Godhead. So the Father couldn't create all things in the beginning without the Son's permission. And the Son couldn't have done much without the Holy Ghost giving him right to do it, because they're all the same in power, the same in unity, so it's like this board, you know. So the Father says, I was thinking about making man. And the Son says, well, I give you my permission. Makes about as much sense as some of y'all in your perspective of free moral agency. God says, I want an election. And you say, well, God, I give you my permission. You claim you got the Holy Ghost. You make the sovereignty of God, you Armenian. You make the sovereignty of God consent by your permission. God didn't need your permission. Brother Don, don't you believe in free moral agency? I do. Absolutely I do. And I believe you've got just as much right to choose whether to be a son of God or not as Adam did. And Jesus. Woo, that was a good one, Lord. Thank you. Let me close. Deuteronomy 32:41, if I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Can you imagine how God, prophetically, referring to the Jews as enemies? Friends, how God would have called America together. Brother Darrell preached it so beautifully this weekend, the Lord Jesus going up, telling them to weep. But I told him Sunday, I said, you know, Brother Darrell, you look at that scripture. And actually before Jesus told them not to weep for him, but to weep for themselves, Jesus had already, in a few chapters prior to that, Jesus had already come up to Jerusalem and he wept for them first. That's the only way you and I can really delve out the judgment of God, is when we've cried for the very people we're blasting. If you don't do that, then keep your mouth shut. If you don't feel for them, if you don't love them, if you don't cry for them and pray for them, then don't condemn them. But Jesus wept and he cried over them. And then he says, now weep for yourselves. It's too late. Did he make them do that? Of course not. They chose to do it on their own. Brother Branham said nothing like him that day. He said, but the other night when I saw that church And he saw the bride and he saw the church. Remember the vision. She was naked, having the gray paper behind her. And he said, you feel the Holy Spirit dropping tears in your heart. America, America, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood. But now your house is left unto you desolate. Oh, Lord. Does that thrill our hearts? If it does, you need to repent. Friends, this is the only home most of us have known. This is our nation, as far as saying it that way. But can we stop the judgment of God? If God had 500 Brother Branhams, if there's 10,000 of them, it's so far gone. There's no turning it back. But see, this is one thing we can do. We don't have to let this happen to us. You've heard the song sung tonight. Are you going to sing it like Caleb? But this ain't going to be me. But this ain't going to be me. Somebody's going to backslide, but it ain't going to be me. Somebody's going to get caught up in Laodicea, but it ain't going to be me. Let's stand together if you would. Oh my. Hallelujah. You know, they're fixing to have a big gathering out in the West Coast. In Azusa Now, they're calling it. Trying to gather tens of thousands, maybe even over 100,000. And they're having it on Brother Benham's birthday. Of course, not in commemoration to him. But they're wanting the Holy Ghost to fall again. I sat and watched the leader of it today, and he was so excited. He was so, he couldn't even hardly sit on the on his pew at Pentecostal. Calling this great man and this great man another great man. Azusa Street's going to happen again. It broke my heart. It absolutely broke my heart. This one was having dreams about it, and this one was having dreams, and this one was prophesying, and this one was saying this is going to happen. Oh, God's going to shake America. We're going to have revival. It's going to come our way. So sad. Brother Bram says it in Shreveport, 1965, in Jack Moore's Pentecostal Church. He said, we're not looking for revival in our generation. We're looking for the coming of the Lord in our generation. But you know what, friends? It may be the last cry of the foolish virgin. Give us of your all. Our lamps have gone out. They know they're missing something. They know they're missing something. They know something ain't right. America needs a stirring. She needs a stirring, they say. And God sent her the greatest gift that he had. Amen. Outside of salvation through the Lord Jesus. For it was the ministry of the Lord Jesus himself. Reimpersonated again. And a prophet saved by the blood of the Lamb. And what did they do? Laughed at him. Turned him down. I read it to Carol the other day. It's when he was in Arkansas. Most of the people there didn't know him. So he was out among the people. Kind of walking among them. The little black girl he bumped into, are you familiar with the story? She told him, you lead me to the healer and I'll find my daddy. Brother Branham prayed for her and she let out a scream. You know the story. And I found this one the other day. There was a man there that knew Brother Branham. And he said, Brother Branham, I know you. He said, Brother, please don't tell him. Don't tell the people. Because the people was just mobbing him. He said, surely, you won't pass me by. Surely you won't pass me by. And I think of our needs in this hour. Sicknesses, affliction, trouble in your home, your work, whatever. If Brother Branham as a prophet could be touched by people's feelings, what about our Lord Jesus? We're not saying to Brother Branham tonight. We're saying to Jesus, Jesus, you won't pass us by. We got needs among us, Lord. You won't pass us by. You are the healer. You are the resurrection. He's our everything. there is no God beside him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People can do what they're going to do. Will a lot of folks in this message ever turn back to the truth? No, no. The elect will. You can sing what you want. You read prophecy. They'll become a great follower in the way. That's exactly right. But I look at it on the other hand. I'm not falling in a falling away. Praise the Lord. I'm not lukewarm in a lukewarm time. I'm burning up in a cold time. Praise the Lord. That's my song. That's who I am. And I'm not make-believe now. I'm living another way. This is the way I live. I preach this high and I walk the same height. Praise the Lord. Because I think this is where we can walk. But Brother Donnie, there ain't no revival anywhere. You left out my heart. This is revival. Right here, individualized. I read it yesterday where Brother Branham said, it come to pass in the last days, the only real love that would be left would be among the elect people. You experience that? You know what's the truth? Even in your families, your friends, whatever more, sometimes even people you go to church with, people don't love people no more. Mothers don't love their children. Husbands don't love their wives. On and on and on and it goes. Where is the real love among the elected? It's another sign, friends. It's just about going home time. Praise God. I'm so glad that God has spied out the land for us. And then he sent a messenger over. He's kind of laying there with his head propped up like this on his bed. So I always wanted to do something for God. I ain't got too much more time to go. I always wanted to do something for God. Started hearing that song. If I could look past the curtain of time. And the voice said, would you like to look past? And he said, I think it would help me so much. So you can imagine, Papa said, come on over and spy out the land. I can't let you come up where I am, but I can let you come up where you folks are, where your people are. And all of a sudden, I come up and I look back to my bed, and there I was, not 20 feet from my body. Can you imagine being in the sixth dimension? You've crossed over and you're looking back and you're not 20 feet, you know, from here to over there, and you can see your body. But you're there, and all of a sudden, the wind, and the bluegrass in the sixth dimension starts blowing. You've just arrived. So you're just stepping in there, and you hear multitudes of voices. They're not saying, false prophet, liar, devil! Our precious brother. Our precious brother. He said, you've been gathered with your people. Amen. Said, are all these Branhams? These are your converts that you've led to Christ. Here come these brothers, these sisters. Said, you see that pretty girl out there? Did you recognize her? Said, no. Said, you led her to Christ when she was past 90. Can't you see why she's saying, my precious brother? Praise God. Oh, friends, if we could just imagine it this morning. A spaceship can't travel there. Science has never been able to develop travel that would go into that dimension. But it's no farther than 20 feet from where we are. In another dimension. Just moving faster. Praise God. We had a witness and he went and come back and said, I'll never be the same. Lay aside everything till you get perfect love. You love him though you are. Let's bow our heads together. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, in this time of great trouble and tumult, I pray, Lord Jesus, give your people peace. It's always in the time of great contrast and great paradox that the reality of Christ becomes so real. It was a time when there was only three men that was left that would stand for what was right. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. In the time of such darkness permeating the world. But these men, without even a promise from you, but they knew one thing. They wouldn't bow their knee. Praise God. It was a time of great darkness, a time of great trouble, a time of great compromise. But to them, it was a time of victory. Their faithful stand brought the living Christ into that great place. Lord Jesus, may we do the same tonight. It's a time of trouble. It's a time of backsliding. It's a time of lukewarmness. Lord Jesus, may I be so in love with you. May these saints, as filled with the Holy Ghost, the saints of Christ around the world, be so filled of your presence that we will have personal revivals. When Brother Branham came, he said, through that one call, that one commission, there was revival fires on every hill. It's amazing the way he said that, revival fires on every hill. Now you can't hardly find a hill with revival fires burning. But you can find hearts who've been to the hill of Calvary. And revival fires are burning in their hearts. So we see it's moved from the hills to the hearts. It's not now a groups. This group is on fire and that group. Oh, another revival. My, we're fixing to have a breakthrough. It's going to be individuals. A man, his wife, a child, a deacon, a trustee, a preacher. Praise God. Lord, let us just fall in love with you all over again, Jesus. Lord, if we find ourselves running from our enemies, may we look around and see we've traded rocks. Our job is our rock. Our car is our rock. If you're our rock, we're going to be chasing enemies, not enemies chasing us. Your word tells if we submit to you, resist the devil and he will flee from us. There is no scripture that tells us we are to flee from our enemy except those that condemns us when we're backslid. Help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we love you. I worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, every now and then, dear God, we feel a little influence from that dimension. Every now and then, Lord, I see a little flicker of light and see a little sudden movement and it appears and then it's gone. A flash. I see someone out of the corner of my eye and they're there for a matter of seconds and gone. We see you come down among us and heal the sick and change hearts. It's that testimony of another world that's still alive right here, Lord. Praise God. We need you tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. Let me sing this song. Yes, there's trouble. People getting discouraged, but not me, Lord. Folks getting cold. Preachers leaving the word. But not me, Lord. Preachers has preached this message for years, leaving it, getting rebaptized in titles. Not me, Lord. No, sir. Joshua and Caleb standing there hearing this song. The Bible even tells us Joshua come with Moses and begin to sing the song to him. But he had to sing it with another tense in mind. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. I don't need to fly out to California and be there in April to have Azusa Street. My experience goes even farther back than Azusa. I went back to what Peter had on the day of Pentecost. The original outpouring of the token life, not restoration of gifts. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands, saints? I'm going to let you go. I know you got work tomorrow and your children are in school and all that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This is more important than you going to work tomorrow. This is more important than your kids maybe losing 10 minutes of sleep to be here in the presence of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you find yourself running from your enemy, check your rock. If God is your rock, then your enemies ought to be running from you. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. If you don't have revival tonight, I'm telling you, you can have it. Brother Darrell mentioned it here the other night. Back in the 80s, we had a revival here at Happy Valley. I personally don't think there'll ever be one like that. It'll strike this again. We're not in that time frame. Happy Valley itself, I don't think we'll ever quite have a revival like that. I think the bride at Happy Valley will have revival, but it'll be individuals. It will not be Happy Valley as a church. It won't be Evening Light at Brother Tim's as a church. It won't be Brother Ron Peterson's as a church. The message will not have a revival as a move, but it will be individuals. Individuals. Many around the message will go off into error and false doctrine and wind up in the tribulation, but that ain't me. And I trust it ain't some of you here tonight. Praise God. Many of the followers of this message will go the way all the other moves have gone. They'll add to what he said, take away from what he said. Before long, the message is no longer pure and the revival dies. But that's not the bride. The bride. Hallelujah. The bride feeds on that unfailing body word of the Son of Man. She is the Word. Praise God. Praise God. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in. Everybody was saying that before I let you go. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the pastor, not the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not the pastor, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Oh, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. See you this weekend. Crying,
Savior, oh my precious Savior.
God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.